of our precious Saviour. You know, that's a lovely wee phrase in Luke 24, how Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, because so many times in life, we can be in the midst of trials and troubles, and, you know, the Lord is going with us, even though we're not looking to him. And, you know, as we thought of Mary and we thought of the two on the road to Emmaus, and we thought of Thomas, you know, I was thinking of that wee chorus, "Open our eyes, Lord." You know, because sometimes, you know, our eyes can be closed. We can become so distracted and we don't see Jesus in the way that we'd want us to. And, you know, it points a lot to what we're going to look at in Hebrews 11, this great chapter on faith. So let's just turn over to Hebrews 11. You know, as we've said, week by week, with the Hebrew believers, and they'd been wavering, and they were thinking about going back and not going on with the Lord. And throughout this book so far, the writer has brought four very important warnings, but he has brought before them the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, his deity, his work, his person, and the fact that we have this great high priest in heaven, and how the Lord Jesus Christ is so much better. And we've seen this new and living way that has been opened up for us unto God through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And we're moving into this section in chapter 11, and it's immensely challenging. And, you know, I feel ill-equipped to share on this as well, because, you know, when we look at some of these characters and we look at the faith they exhibited, you know, and I look at myself, it just pales into insignificance. We're going to read Hebrews 11 and verse 4, first of all. We're going to be looking at Abel. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And if we can turn over to Genesis 4. Just to help us understand this verse, it's important that we just look back at Genesis 4, and where we see the story of Cain and Abel related to us. Genesis 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou angry, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hidden. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And it shall come to pass that anyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And just turn back to Hebrews 11. So we're looking at faith, and we're looking specifically at Abel. And you know, God, as we've thought about before in this book, he's speaking to Jewish believers. And this chapter 11 on faith, it's sandwiched in between two sections. There's a wee section at the end of chapter 10, and then there's a section at the end of chapter 11 running into chapter 12, and they're both quite important. The end of chapter 10, from verse 35 on, you know, we see some interesting phrases. You know, cast not away your confidence, is what the writer says to these Jewish believers. He talks about the need to have patience. He talks and he points them towards a promise ahead. And he tells them that the just will live by faith. And then, when we get to the end of this chapter and move into chapter 12, he talks about how these various characters that we look at over the coming weeks have received witness through faith. But then he says to these Jewish believers how much better things are for us in that we have Christ. They were looking towards Christ. We have Christ. And he has brought Christ before them right throughout this book. And he says to them, consider all of these witnesses and look unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know, through each of the examples that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, the writer to the believers here, what he's doing is he's bringing before them people to whom they could relate to. And he deals with a specific issue in each case as he looks at each of these examples of faith. And he does it for three purposes. He wants, first of all, to encourage these Hebrew believers. He also wants to exhort them to be faithful. And the third thing that he wants to do is he wants to explain to them what faith actually is. And you know, faith is something in today's society which is almost despised. The Richard Dawkins of this world talk about faith as just being blind and belittles people who talk about faith. But you know, faith is very, very simple. It's having confidence in God's word. And the evidence is there for God's word throughout Scripture. And it's having confidence in God's word despite the circumstances or the consequences that there might be in being faithful to him. And the specific thing which the writer is trying to deal with in verse 4 is our approach to God. If you think about all of the issues that these Hebrews believers had, particularly over the last few chapters, and we see the comparison between the old covenant and the new, the old system and what Christ has done. He's bringing before them in Abel, and we're going to look at this carefully. He's bringing before them in Abel and the sacrifice that Abel brought, how Abel, by faith, approached God in God's appointed way, taking God at his word, and how, yet being dead, he speaks to them. Faith is having confidence in God's word. And you know, the two, we think back sort of to when we're looking at Luke there and the two on the road to Emmaus, they would have known that the Lord Jesus Christ, from all that he had taught them, that he would be with them. But they had been so consumed by what had happened that they had missed out, and they weren't by faith grasping the lovely promise that he had given to them. And you know, that's the problem with us as well. And I suppose the challenge to us, really, as we look at this passage together, is what is our response to God's word as believers? You know, by faith will we have confidence in God and take him at his word, despite the circumstances that we're in or the consequences that we might face? But let's just turn to our verse again. Hebrews 11 and 4. Just want to read it through again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I want to split this verse into three, just to help us work our way through it. Three things. First of all, there's a case in point that we're going to look at. Secondly, we're going to see a contrast that's presented. And thirdly, we're going to look at the conclusion that's been pressed. So first of all, the case in point. We can split this verse in three. The first wee bit I want to look at is, by faith Abel offered unto God. By faith Abel offered unto God. You know, the question comes, how should we approach God? How should we approach God? These Hebrew believers had been struggling. They were wavering and they were drifting back to the old. And they had been clearly taught of what Christ had done. They had put their faith and trust in what he had completed on Calvary's cross for them. But they were wavering and they were drifting back. And they knew that the only way to approach God was through the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross, but yet they were drifting back. And you know, here we see Abel being brought before them. And Abel, he took God exactly at his word. He responded positively to God's word. And he followed God's plan for sacrifice. Whenever we think about Genesis 4, and we have read through Genesis 4, you know, the Lord had made it clear how his people were to approach him, and it was through sacrifice. Now, we could go back and we could look at Genesis 3 and 21, where the Lord had provided the coats for Adam and Eve, and how blood was shed, and their sin was covered. The Lord, I believe, also had spoken and made it clear the way of sacrifice for dealing with sin. But you know, the important thing is that Abel recognized that and he was obedient to God's word. Abel acknowledged his sin and he brought the sacrifice in God's appointed way. And you know, he brought the lamb. And that lamb speaks of innocence and it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the lamb was a substitute and the blood was shed. And God was satisfied. He had respect for what Abel brought. God was satisfied. And he was satisfied because Abel was obedient to his word. You know, we're taught in Hebrews, and we looked at it more in Hebrews 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And Abel, he acknowledged his sin, and he brought a lamb, and it was slaughtered, its blood was shed, and God was satisfied. And you know, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, by faith Abel offered unto God. He was obedient. He took God at his word. And you know, the writer said to the Hebrew believers, listen, you know, we have taught you that sin can only be dealt with through what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on Calvary's cross. And you know, in this letter I've written to you, he's saying, I've brought before you the deity of Christ, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. I've brought before you how he's so much better than all of the things that went before in the old system, that there's a new covenant and a real relationship with God. And we have a new and living way opened up to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's saying to them is, take God at his word. Trust him. Just the way Abel took God at his word way back right at the very start. So he brings before them this case in point. He brings them right back to Abel. But you know, the second thing in this verse is there's a contrast presented. Because not only does it say, by faith Abel offered unto God, it goes on to say, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know, we need to think a little bit about Cain to learn a little bit more about Abel. And you know, whenever you turn to the book of Jude, you'll see Cain mentioned, and it talks about the way of Cain. If you go to 1 John 3 and verse 12, you'll see Cain mentioned again. And John tells us that his works were evil. You know, we're not going to take time to go to both of those passages, but you know, have a look at them when you're going through this at home yourself. But you know, Jude, every time I read Jude, you know, it just brings home so much the waywardness of this world that we live in today. And yet, he mentions about the way of Cain. And he's going right back to the very start. We read through Genesis 4. We've thought a little bit about Abel, and by faith Abel offered unto God. He took God at his word. He did what God commanded. Cain, and the difference with him was that he decided he wanted to come to God his own way. And he was going to do things the way he wanted to. Yes, he acknowledged God, and he brought God the fruit of the ground. But as for God's command with regard to sacrifice, he just put it to the side. He didn't want to know. He had no regard for what God had commanded. And I suppose that's what Jude is at when he talks about the way of Cain. And when we think about the application of Jude to the society that we live in today, you know, it's full of religion and self-righteousness. And you know, I suppose that's where religion started. Religion is man's way of getting to God. And I suppose Cain was the person who introduced that, because he decided he wasn't going to do what God commanded, but he was going to come to God the way he wanted to. And he rejected totally God's way of worship. And you know, the story in Genesis 4 is very plain. God was dissatisfied. And he was dissatisfied for two reasons. We've thought, first of all, about Cain's disobedience. He just ignored what God commanded. He would not come to God in the way that God appointed. And God was dissatisfied with his disobedience. But you know, the critical thing that God was dissatisfied with, that Cain, in coming his own way, was making no acknowledgement of his sin and felt that he could do as he pleased without his sin being dealt with. And you know, Cain, as we think through the story, Cain was very angry with God. You know, he still in his sin couldn't accept his disobedience. And rather than accepting, yes, Lord, I'm wrong, I've sinned, I didn't acknowledge my sin, I didn't come to you in the way that I should have, what does he do? He's angry with God because God is dissatisfied. He still wants his own way. He's that wayward. And you know, it's lovely when you think about that passage in Genesis 4, because when you look closely at Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7, you can still see the love and the care that God had for Cain. God was patient with him. And you know, God reminded him in those verses that he can still come, repent of his sins. He can still come in the way that God had set out for him. But you know, as we go on through that story, Cain, he just rejects God out of hand. And you know, he is so jealous of God having respect for Abel's sacrifice that he murders his own brother. And you know, even worse than that, you know, God knew what he had done, but God challenged him. And God wanted to know where Abel was. And you know, Cain and his whole waywardness, he tried to cover up his actions before God. And you know, when you think about Cain, you know, he's no different to many of us today. You know, one sin leads to another sin leads to another sin. And you know, none of us are too keen to admit our sin and our wrongs. And that's what society is full of today and how it has rejected God. He tries to cover up his actions. He tries to dress them up. But God knows. And God curses Cain. And as we come to the end of the story, we can see that Cain is remorseful. You know, he's remorseful, but only insofar as the consequences of God's curse on him will have for him. He's not repentant in any way for his sin. He's not repentant in any way for his disobedience to God or for the murder of his brother. He's remorseful only because God's curse will impact on him and that people will go after him. And you know, we see God still showing care for him and putting the mark on him that no one would slay him. But you know, as we think about what Cain did as against what Abel did, the contrast presented is very clear. In Abel, we see obedience to God's way, to God's word. And in Cain, we see total disobedience for God's way and God's word, and it rejected out of hand. And when we think about this verse and we think about the context of it within this whole book, with the Hebrew believers wavering, maybe going to drift back, the writer to the Hebrews, he brings before them Abel. And he says, look at Abel's faith. Look at how he took God at his word and how he approached God and how God was pleased. But here, remember Cain. Cain decided he was going to do it his way. Cain decided he was going to reject God out of hand. And look at what the consequences were for him. Just finally, within the verse, we see a conclusion pressed. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it goes on, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Just to summarize, Abel, he took God at his word, and God attested to his righteousness. And Cain, he rejected God's word, and he was found unrighteous. And you know, through his faith, Abel still speaks to us today, despite being dead, just in the way that he spoke to these people here, despite being dead. Because by faith, he took God at his word, despite the circumstances and despite the consequences, and God was pleased. I want you just to turn over to Hebrews 12 and 24. The writer says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You know, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. I've brought him before you. His blood was shed. His blood was pure, and it was perfect, and it was spotless. And he says, it was shed for you, and it was shed for me. And that sacrifice is far better than the sacrifice that Abel brought. And Abel has set a wonderful example. By faith, he obeyed God. And the writer is saying to the Hebrew believers here, he's saying, stop your drifting. Stop your doubting. Don't be dull. Don't despise God's word. Have faith and take God at his word, because Christ is far, far better. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's the challenge for us today as well. The challenge for us is just the same as the challenge that there was to the Hebrew believers. And there's a wonderful example of faith in Abel in terms of how we approach God. And you know, the challenge to us is, what is our response to God's word? Not what people might say, not what people might dictate, or how things are done, or our own self-will. What does God's word say? And will we step out in faith, trusting God's word despite circumstances and despite consequences, and be a people of faith for him? We'll just close a short word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word and for your precious Son. And Father, we are greatly challenged when we think of our faith. Father, your word is clear to us and teaches us clearly your way for us. And yet, Father, just like these Hebrew believers, so often we drift and we waver and we become dull to your word. Father, help us just to step out in faith, trusting you. Father, you are able for whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in. And Father, you are able to bring us through whatever the consequences might be of stepping out for you. And Father, in our lives, day by day, help us to faithfully trust you, to be true to you and obedient to your word. Father, just bless us and help us to learn from these things. In Jesus' name.